24th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Luke, beginning at the 13th verse. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And he said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which would have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat and meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and broke and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our hearts burn within us, while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Good morning. You're probably aware that a number of us went to Spring Harvest recently, and the main speaker, Andy Hickford, had the terrible, terrible illness called man flu. And there wasn't a great deal of sympathy shown for him, but he preached really well. For 3 days, I've been suffering, ladies, with man flu, and I've been in bed for 3 days and got off my deathbed to be here this morning. So I just hope that my talk will be as effective and powerful as Andy Hickford's, so I may be as good as him, and we will all benefit from what I believe God has said to me. So let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for the privilege of sharing from your word and the things that I've been reminded of or learnt from this passage as I've studied. And Lord, when we're at our weakest, you are so often at your strongest. So I pray for your anointing this morning, Lord, and may what I say be a blessing and a challenge to us all. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you hear the story of the important business executive who boarded the New Orleans to Washington train? He was a heavy sleeper, and he needed to be awoken in order to get off the train at Atlanta about 5 o'clock in the morning. He had a very important business engagement, so he found a porter and he said to him, I want you to wake me up in order that I might get off the train at 5 o'clock in the morning. He said, now look, I'm a heavy sleeper. He said, it doesn't matter how much I fret or fuss or fume or what I do to you, I have to get off that train in Atlanta. If you have to remove me bodily, he said, you must get me off that train at Atlanta. Well, the next morning he woke up about 9 o'clock, having slept all night and having missed Atlanta. finding it was speeding towards Washington. So he located the porter, and he really poured it on with all sorts of abusive language, almost attacking the poor guy physically. And after he left, somebody said to the porter, how could you stand there and take all that kind of abuse from that man? And the porter said rather bewilderedly, that ain't nothing. You should have heard the guy that I threw off the train at Atlanta. You see, many of us not only fail to get off at the right station, but we miss the train. Too many of us, I'm afraid, miss the train of the total gospel message. You are here this morning because you, like the business executive and the two men on the road to Emmaus, are on the journey. However, I just hope for the next 15 minutes, unlike the businessman, you manage to keep awake and you don't give me any abuse at the end. You know, from the very moment that you acknowledge the existence of Christ and you seek his friendship, you begin the journey. An incredible spiritual journey. There'll be times of great joy, but also sadness. Times of refreshment and weariness. Times of encouragement and disappointments. Times of great faith. And yes, times of doubts and fears. When we get our ticket to heaven, Jesus doesn't promise an easy ride. Far from it. However, he does promise that he will be our travelling companion throughout the whole journey. You know, even if we don't feel, experience, or recognise his presence. But I can guarantee that unlike our business executive, you will be delighted when you get to your final destination. From today's passage, I want to bring out three main points. Because I knew Martin would be here, and I say from the Anglican point of view, 3 points, okay? So the first one, do we get confused with the identity and the ministry of Jesus Christ? The second one, are we travelling first, second, or third class? And thirdly, do you have your salvation, a free ticket to paradise? To be more than a token Christian involves us taking up the cross. St. Paul knew this. Paul was a great man with one passion, to know Christ and to make him known. It was part of our motto, wasn't it, a few years ago. And you know, he knew that knowing Christ involved the cross for himself. And he says in his letter to the Philippians in chapter 3, verse 10, this, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. Now, although not recorded in the Bible, the historian Ignatius, writing AD 110, records that Paul's desire came true about AD 67, when Emperor Nero had him beheaded. You know, without knowing, understanding, and following the implications of the cross, it would be impossible for us to go on that journey, our walk of faith. Now, fortunately for you and me, in this country, and I say presently, it is unlikely that doing so will cost us our lives. But death and persecution is still the reward for many of our brothers and sisters who choose to journey with Christ. And isn't it strange that here in the UK, where in comparison our Christian journey is relatively safe, some don't take up this offer of salvation, the free ticket to heaven. Whereas in places like China, Africa, India and Russia, to name just a few, where God's church is persecuted, we see phenomenal growth. At times, I want to pray for more persecution in this country if we see that growth. Now, I have been blessed by the amount of countries that Meg and I have been able to travel to. mainly by plane, but using the train subway in such places as Washington DC, Athens, Singapore, and in Prague, the capital of the Czech Republic, formerly known as Czechoslovakia, whilst under the oppressive Soviet communist regime. A wonderful city. If you haven't been, I recommend you go. Now, I didn't know Adam was going to be talking this morning, didn't even know what he was going to talk about, but I think this has got inspired, what we've both been about to say. Because in Prague, in 1981, Vaclav Malé, a Catholic priest, was defrocked for preaching the gospel, and he was dispatched by the communists to clean the toilets in the subway system of Prague. Although efficient, the most dank and dirtiest subway that I have used. And yet on Christmas Eve, in 1989, when the crowd began to move out onto the streets, when it looked like finally the communist power struggle was going to be overturned, the crowd started shouting, "Malé, Malé." Malé at the time was doing the job that he'd been condemned to do, cleaning the toilets. So up out of the subway, Vaclav Malé, the defrocked priest, came, and he led the crowd down to the main square of old Prague. 800,000 people gathered. And Malé held a service of thanksgiving, and he offered forgiveness to all the communists. All they had to come forward, he told them, to come forward and repent. And they did, in their hundreds. The next morning, the tanks were gone. They called it the Velvet Revolution. And not a drop of blood was shed. And Malé was the hero of that Velvet Revolution. The power of the cross in one person's life. And Vaclav Malé's life reflected at least an echo of what St. Paul was saying. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering, becoming like him in his death. I think there are several parallels between this true story and our reading about the Emmaus Road. Israel were under an oppressive regime, not the communists, but the Romans. The people were desperate for somebody to lead them into freedom. And like Malé rose out of the subway, we know, don't we, that Christ rose out of the tomb just as he had predicted. However, the difference was that Christ was only offering spiritual freedom. You know, sometimes during times of hardship or depression, we can struggle to see the positive. We are, in a sense, blinded to a positive outcome. And certainly this seems to apply to these guys in our reading, who are walking away, deserted their fellowship in Jerusalem, heading off in a different direction towards Emmaus. Point one. How sad that too often Christians, when in their greatest hour of need, walk away from Christ and the fellowship. How many times have people told us, "Oh, give me space," or "back off"? I know. I've been there myself. But you see, it's at these times we need to seek and identify the truth and the reality of Christ, not to lose our faith. See, not only is Christ the provider of our salvation, everlasting life, but just to name a few other things, characters of him, if we allow him to be so, he is the source of comfort, he is the source of healing, he is the source of the peace that passes all human understanding, he is Jehovah, our provider, he is our counsellor. The list is almost endless. Visual aid this morning. I won't show you page 3 because we're in church, but look at the sun this morning. I don't know if you saw the scenes on TV. 36,000 people prayed for this man at Tottenham. Those that can't see it, says, "I asked God to protect me. He didn't let me down. God brought him back from the dead. Been dead for 78 hours. You know, I guess that little has changed in the 2,000 years since that Emmaus walk. People are still foolish, as Jesus called the two disciples in verse 25, because he went into great detail of the scriptures and the prophecies concerning his ministry of the cross and resurrection. And yet, it took a physical act, the breaking of the bread, before the penny, or the dinar, whatever it would have been those days, dropped. Today, not only do we have the same scriptures, but we also have the New Testament, endless books, DVDs, conferences and seminars, as well as the experience and testimonies of Christians over nearly 2,000 years. And yet so many people still cock-a-deafen or turn a blind eye. Now, although miraculous testimonies are great, I still think the greatest testimony that anyone can have is that I read about it or was told about it, and I believed in Jesus Christ. And I pray that today, as you receive communion, you look beyond the spiritual ritual and you actually breathe in, as you receive, a spiritual infilling, the very breath of God. Which leads me on to point two. Are we travelling our spiritual journey first, second, or third class? Now, if you're half asleep or asleep, please wake up now, all right? Because I don't want you to misunderstand or misinterpret what I'm about to say, okay? Unlike some Pentecostals and other Christian denominations, I do not believe that the spiritual gifts or experiences you may have received or been given makes you any better than any other believer. You're either a Christian or you're not. You either accept or reject Christ. Can I assure you that when you get to border control of heaven, you won't be required to speak in tongues or to get slain in the spirit? You only need to prove you accepted Jesus into your life and trusted him for your salvation. If you have truly turned to Christ, you will not be turned away. However, I do believe in all the gifts of the Spirit that are freely given, not to edify us, but God. Not to make us proud, but humbly more efficient. I'm so pleased that soon we'll be starting the sermon series on the gifts of the Spirit, and I've been asked to do two of those, which I'm really looking forward to. The two that met with Jesus on the Emmaus Road did a U-turn. And they returned to Jerusalem and they stayed with the other disciples, where Jesus again appeared with them and he ate with them to prove that he wasn't a ghost. And Jesus instructed them to stay into the city until they'd be clothed with power from on high. In other words, be anointed by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus wants you and me to be clothed with that same power from on high. I truly believe that every Christian will have a more thrilling, exhilarating, and blessed spiritual journey the more we allow the Holy Spirit to anoint and guide us. The more anointed we are, the more open we should be to be coming and using that power on high. You know, we will see the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit manifest themselves. How do we know if we or someone is travelling first, second, or third class? We look for the fruits of the Spirit. Do we see love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? To be honest, I think I need a change of diet. Not only just because I'm getting too fat, but I certainly need more of God's fruit in my life. How about you? And point three. Do we really have our ticket to heaven? And it's not obtained by the ritual of just turning up on the Sunday and going through the motions. It's not even obtained by believing in God, saying prayers, and singing nice hymns, as important they may be. The Bible is very clear that the only way to salvation is putting Jesus first. Loving and trusting him in both the good and the tough times. Not pulling the emergency cord between stations and jumping off and on. Although, if we do, there is always a way back. If there's anyone here this morning who feels that they need to start their spiritual journey with Jesus, or maybe they feel they need to start again, but this time clothed from on high, please do speak to Christine, Martin, or myself afterwards. We would love to help you climb aboard the gospel train. Not to Atlanta or Washington, but paradise, now and forever.